30 years of advice for your house, home, castle, or cabin.
Y'all have things you want to get done.
It's Rosie on the House.
Hey, y'all. Good morning. Come on into my house. Make yourself comfortable. Let's visit for a little while. We've got some special guests in studio. There's a particular topic that's floating back up to the surface again and again and again and again. And, of course, the rate changes with the various utility companies throughout the state kind of force it to be resurfacing again and again and again. So we've got Kyle Ritland and Bobby Burnett from Sun Valley Solar. We appreciate y'all coming in. Thanks, guys.
You're welcome.
Thanks, Rosie.
All right. Y'all have some news to bring to our listeners as it relates to the ongoing evolving world of solar residential power.
Yeah, we call it the solar coaster.
It is. That is a perfect name for it.
Yeah, it is. So, you know, I suppose the big message at the moment is that we have another rate change staring at us right around the corner. So the short version is, as part of the APS rate case in 2017, they do a yearly reevaluation of the buyback rate. So that's the credit that they give to solar customers for any excess energy that they send back to the grid. So,
and just to give homeowners a small appreciation of the complication of just your last three sentences, it all started with APS doing a net meter.
Right.
That's right. The good old days. That's the good where old it days. Started.
Right.
And explain that just for a minute. When you've got solar on the roof.
Yeah, so net metering, put simply, is a one-for-one credit for any energy sent back to the grid. So when you produce more energy than you're using with your solar panels, that excess energy goes back to the grid. They used to do a thing called net metering, where you got a one-for-one credit. That went away last year with the rate case that was approved in 2017, and it was replaced with a flat rate that is 12.9 cents a kilowatt hour. So that rate gets reevaluated every year. So that credit level gets reevaluated every year. And that
in perpetuity?
Yes.
Every year? Could it really change that much from one year to another that they'd have to look at it annually?
That's what their research tells them, is that they need to look at it annually and reevaluate it. So that goes to ACC, the Arizona Corporation Commission, for vote, and that evaluation process is going on right now. So what we're telling people is, so the good news for all of those existing solar customers is that when you lock in your contract, you get to stay in your contract. So whatever your rate plan was that you were locked into prior to 2017, you're still on. So existing solar customers don't have to worry. This message is really for people who have been considering solar, that they're better off getting in if they've been considering it. Get your contract locked in, because then you're locked in for 10 years and you don't have to worry about any forthcoming changes.
Annually.
Correct.
You're locked in for 10. So whatever it is at point of contract, you've just committed to.
Right. So you get to keep it for 10. So in the current state of affairs, we're really telling people, if you're considering it, lock in before September. Give us a call.
And I would is this every utility? I mean, they've all left net metering, right?
No, there's several that still have it.
Oh, there are.
Yeah, SRP, for example, still has it, but their rate plan is completely different than APS's.
Okay. I didn't realize that. I thought they all abandoned it.
No, SRP, for example, if you go solar, they have a particular, there's one rate plan for solar. You have to go on it if you're grid tied.
Okay.
Solar. And they do have full net metering. But the catch is with SRP is all the kilowatt hours are now a cheap cost if you go on the solar plan, and they focus on what's called demand. So your demand charge, in a nutshell, an easy way to equate demand versus kilowatt hours would be a car taking a trip to here to Flagstaff and back. Maybe let's say that's 400 miles round trip. The miles stay the same no matter how hard you're pushing the engine. How hard you're pushing the engine would equate to the demand. The miles would represent the kilowatt hours. So the car might be sitting still with no demand. It might be going uphill trying to pass a truck, a lot of demand. SRP puts more emphasis and cost on that demand than they do on the cost of the kilowatt hours themselves.
And they're measuring that demand during some on-peak selected periods.
Correct. Strictly on-peak times is when they measure it.
So this goes back to our theory of supercooling, that you load up on your energy consumption off-peak, keep your on-peak absolutely as close to zero as possible, let your house sleep, let the solar energy be absorbed into the panels, and be prepared for your off-peak consumption.
There's a catch. There's a catch. What the utilities are starting to realize, there's a great book called The Grid, if anybody wants to read a really good case study on this. The utilities are starting to come to understand that they're having a tough time meeting that demand. So what they're actually incentivizing
on peak.
So well, the wall of traffic coming home tells the story.
Right.
The reason what happens when all those people make it home, they turn down the AC, they turn on the oven. They if they're working, they hop in a hot shower, perhaps they turn on the spa. The house comes back to life in a pretty short window of time. Those 3 hours, 4 hours, people are coming home from work. So the grid's looking at that and saying, okay, maybe we had this wrong. Maybe having people super cool is a problem, because now everybody's cooling these houses all the way back off again. And the coefficiencies of cooling off drapes and carpet and things like that take a lot more power than just keeping a house at a steady level. So they're incentivizing, and we're talking SRP now.
Right, right.
On the demand-based plan, they're incentivizing people to just keep the house cool all the time so they're not part of the problem come rush hour. So they put in a demand charge and say, hey, we're going to give you cheap kilowatt hours all the time. So imagine being rented a car and saying all the miles are cheap as long as you don't dog our engine. So that's where the SRP is at, and we're kind of seeing a migration across the country. The book says a lot about
this. It really addresses the grid nationally.
Correct.
And this is a trend in utility providers coast to coast.
Correct. And as we're seeing the decommissioning of coal plants, I mean, that's the kind of behind the curtain, the iron curtain is, okay, what's the government's drive on some of this stuff, mm-hmm. right? It's a very political conversation, and it is political in a lot of cases. But that's what's driving some of this at the utility scale is, okay, if we're not going to build new nuclear plants, which is some of the most efficient energy there is, and we're not going to do that, and we're going to be asked to decommission coal plants, what are we going to do to meet this growing need?
And is the reason that every utility rate structure is different is because they're generating electricity different? SRP is mainly hydraulic and water. APS is mainly nuclear. Or is it just it's a different company, and when it was all established, did anybody know the history on that? You would think this would be a universal
you sure would.
Pricing structure.
I think it's a lot of different things, Romy. I think it's the energy mix that they buy, where they buy it from. And I don't want to speak on their behalf, but I think there's a lot of different economies that come into how they set their rates. Yeah. It's a pretty complex set of variables that we could probably spend 2 hours here on the air exploring and not get anywhere.
Yeah.
It's both of the things you mentioned, though. It is how they make it, and it is politics to some degree. SRP, for example, their electric side is a nonprofit. So they're driven a little bit differently than, say, a for-profit like APS is. So that factors in at some level.
If you're confused about solar options at your house, we've got the two guys in here to talk to right now, Kyle and Bobby. The number is 1-888-767-4348. If you've got solar that maybe you're confused about the results you're getting, if you're considering solar and you've got questions about it, and I would say addressing APS and their rate review that's under review right now, 12.5 cent. Buyback, my heart and gut just kind of tell me that's a pretty fair buyback.
It's actually, yeah, so it's 12.9 cents.
That's a good rate.
Yeah,
to be selling power for.
Absolutely. I mean, you can sell back a fair amount of power at that rate, depending on the size of your solar energy system, and you can obtain some good credits that can be used to significantly offset your bill, even above and beyond what the solar is offsetting already. So it's a very fair rate, and it's a good economic model to look at putting solar on the house. So that's why we're telling people, you know, do it now while that rate exists, and at least explore it and go through the numbers with us, because it doesn't cost anything to do that. They just call us and we can look at their energy consumption and we can come up with some variables that speak to their house and their cost structure.
Done right, even if you're not sure you're going to be there, your solar takes a little while for it to pay for itself. You know, by the time you get it installed and you're earning up the credits and everything, and you're like, well, I'm only going to be here for two or three more years, or maybe four or five or whatever. The way the rates are going, I see solar homes selling a little bit quicker in the next 5 to 10 years than a home right next to it without solar, about the same size and floor mat.
You're absolutely right. So the home buying and selling market is starting to catch up with the value of solar and understanding the value equation. That was a little bit of a delay in understanding, you know, with real estate agents and
well, then
whatnot.
You got the leasing company, their hands in the pot. You got the utility companies with their hands. There were so many hands in the cookie jar, it was hard to understand.
Right, but we're seeing that catch up, and there's some really cool things about that. For example, we talked about how rates evolve over time. Some of the earlier rate plans were much more economically incentivized. So those rate plans in most cases stay with the house. So houses that were grandfathered into some of the older rate plans are now coming on the market for resale, and a savvy real estate agent is going to be able to say, this is a grandfathered house. It's on a rate plan that no longer exists anymore. So when you're buying into this house, you're getting into a solar rate plan that somebody going solar today can't even get. And that's a value for the house.
Talk about value. If you're looking for value when it comes to transportation, Bobby here was talking about driving to and from Flagstaff. Well, wouldn't you rather be driving to and from Flagstaff, to and from work in a brand new Sanderson Ford? Hey, look, 0% APR for 60 months on any Ford F-150 truck. That's the best-selling truck in America for 40 years. How about 0% APR for 72 months, up to $1,000 on Ford Escape, Edge, or Explorer? I'm telling you, if you're in the mode or the mood to relook at your wheels and your transportation, you've got to get over to Sanderson Ford, the number one Ford dealership in all America. And you know what? They do that 6 days a week, because Sanderson Ford is closed on every Sunday. But they're open now. Get over there today.